2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Sheet Podcast with the Bear and the Parrot, Josh and Jeff. I am Josh the Bear in North Carolina. He is Jeff the Parrot in Massachusetts. How are you doing there, Parrot?
Not doing too bad, man. It's been overcast and rainy here for the better part of a week, but you know, I'm dodging between the raindrops as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, we're there right now. It's not so much. I think we're going to get a different style of rain. We're becoming Florida for the next 2 weeks or so. I looked on the forecast the other night, and it was lightning bolts as far as the eye could see. Today, something like today being Tuesday, looks like. Yeah, 2 inches of rain at some point today. So I don't know what kind of baseball I'm going to be seeing for a long while. But it's going to be very, very wet and wild here in North Carolina. But the weather here does not stop the weather on the hot sheet, where it is always full of torrential downpours of prospects. So we will start this week. Jeff, number one player on the list that you picked is Reds right-hander Connor Phillips. And you being the pitching whisperer and the hot sheet assemblerer, what do you think about Connor Phillips?
Yeah, man, I think Phillips, you know, got promoted up to AAA. Really, really interesting player. Just from the sense of huge stuff, was the player to be named later actually in the Jesse Winker, Eugenio Suarez deal. Ton of rod in the fastball, and I think, you know, some of it's probably aided by the Southern League tack balls, but not all of it. There was always rod in that fastball to begin with. Ton of power. It's a really unique shape. Mixes, you know, good secondary stuff, particularly the breaking balls are good. He's really interesting to me. It looks like another arm here that, you know, has high firepower and, you know, could potentially turn into a major guy. For the Reds, I mean, this organization right now is just brimming with really interesting players. And, you know, they're in the chase for the NL Central. As crazy as that seems, this could be another guy that if he pitches well in AAA, I don't think it would be a shock if he's up in July and, you know, potentially making starts for Cincinnati. So,
or you could spin him for some sort of reinforcement.
They're not going to trade a controllable asset that doesn't have a high dollar value and is years away from arbitration. That is not how this Reds organization seems to be doing things. I think we're going to see more prospects than we're going to see them trade away assets with, you know, control that could be part of this core for a few years. Because I think outside of like Hunter Green and Lodolo, and maybe Andrew Abbott, if you're a big Abbott fan, I'd say Phillips is right there, three or four, in terms of their most interesting arms. So I'm going to see what happens. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. Like, if they could make trades and use some of their guys to do it. And once, you know, I'm not going to mention who else could get traded, but there are plenty of other guys in that system who could if they want to really go for it in this new super expanded playoff world that we live in. But, yeah, that. Connor Phillips led our hot sheet this week. A little further down was Spencer Jones with the Yankees, who that's my system that I cover. And, you know, I think I wrote in the capsule today for the first couple months of the season, strikeouts were a really big problem for Spencer Jones. And it, you know, it was not really something that was under the radar or hidden or anything like that. He struck out way too much. The last couple weeks, it's been a lot better. It's not been, you know, he hasn't gone to crazy low levels, but he's run about 28% the last couple weeks. And this last week against, I believe it was Rome, he showed exactly what he can do. He hit a lot. He hit a few bombs. He stole some bags. He's just a really good athlete who has a lot of really fun traits about him. And when everything clicks, you can see a guy who, you know, would be higher in the system and maybe a little more in top 100 consideration than he is right now. You know, I think we just put out our midseason top 30s, and I think I lost 3 or 4 years off my life trying to figure out the order of the Dominguez, Pereira, Jones trio. And, you know, you could ask 30 different evaluators and you'd get, I don't think it's possible to get 30 different combinations, but you'd get a lot of different combinations of that list. I put Jones third of that group. Wells was in the middle somewhere too, but he's not an outfielder. And the reason was he struck out way too much, both swinging and looking. Like, it was just a problem with strike zone management and swing decisions. And there was some concern, both in and out of the org. Now, if he goes on a tear, maybe he bumps up a little bit higher, because, you know, the hickey on Everson Pereira is he's a tools monster as well, but he's never on the field. And he's hurt right now, despite not being on the IL. So I put him number two, well, two among that group, and Dominguez, he's got some upside too, as you know, you've seen the last couple of years. So that was a little more of a tangent into the ranking mechanics of the Yankees than I wanted to take today. But the point is, Spencer Jones had a really great week against Rome. And if he's turning a corner, then you might see him in double A, especially considering the first half of the minor league seasons are about to end, which means that we will no longer have to talk about the tack ball in the Southern League, because we will be switching to the mud ball, which I think will be very interesting to see how certain hitting prospects do and pitching prospects do in that league once they go back to regular baseballs and fastballs go back to, you know, not mutant levels. Jeff, the next guy on the list I want you to talk about is Austin Shenton, a former Rays
former Mariners prospect, and now a Rays prospect.
Yes. I was remembering it backwards. I know
he
I
was,
saw
he was acquired alongside JT Shangwa,
who was, I think, in the history of our prospect pads, he was probably the best dressed human. He looked straight out of an Abercrombie Fitch catalog when he came to the one in San Diego, low these many years ago.
Oh,
yes. So
very fancy. That was way off topic.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm here for. This is the off-topic show with Bear and Parrot.
I was going to say they were traded to the Rays for Diego Castillo, who I don't even think is in the major leagues any longer. I think he's in the minors. So there you go. Rays went in again. I think he's really interesting, and I brought this up on the fantasy podcast yesterday, but Shenton dealt with an injury last season, which, you know, kept him sidelined for about half the season. I think that he was injured in maybe July, was probably around this time last year, and then ended up missing the second half of the year. Just double checking here to make sure that's the case. Actually, it was June 22nd was his last game. But if you take a look at what Shenton has done over the last 2 years, which amounts to about 110 games, he's hitting 285, 387, 514 with a 13.8% walk rate, a 28% strikeout rate. So throw some whips with 27 doubles, 21 home runs. I think that's really interesting. Like, this is a guy where we've seen year over year growth. He hits the ball really hard. The chase numbers are low. It's like a 21% chase rate, somewhere around there. I think the exit velocity is like 90 percentile is like 106. So it's plus. There's juice in there for sure. And he's walking at a 15.2% walk rate this year. Strikeout rate is down. He looks like somebody that could be joining you guys up in Durham not too long from now. And, you know, I think he's another guy that kind of falls in line with the Brett Wiseleys or the Tobias Myers, where he may end up on the chopping block with the Rays 40-man roster this November because they just don't have space for him. But very reasonably could be on somebody's 40-man roster next year, be protected, end up in the major leagues, has that on-base ability, hits for that power. And I had made the prediction to Dylan that I think he'll either be traded prior to that deadline, or if he is left unprotected and still on the Rays, that he gets picked pretty early in the Rule 5 draft and could be somebody that sticks around. These numbers track, these skills track on-base ability and power. We've seen it work for Ryan Noda. He's not the defender that Noda is, of course, not as athletic as Noda is, but there's power, there's on-base ability, similar sort of fringy contact ability to Noda. So I think Shenton is very interesting for me as kind of like an underrated prospect, and he's been an absolute burner of late too. So that's the reason he made the hot sheet, and I called him out here because I think he's an interesting player, somebody that was familiar with during his time in the Cape back in 2018. He's actually on a Wareham team that won the title with Andrew Vaughn and Bryson Stott, among others.
Well, I'm surprised J.J. Cooper, our boss, did not just bust through the back of your room there, Kool-Aid man style, because you mentioned his two favorite words in the world, Rule 5. So when you say that, that's J.J. Cooper's music. And
boom. I'm not too far off, man. You know, I'm kind of like J.J.'s, you know, partner in crime, like he's Owen Hart or whatever, or Brett the Hitman Hart. And I'm Anvil, you know, I'm coming in there with a long beard, like chasing in and smashing up guys in the corner for J.J. when he's winning his Rule 5 championship.
I don't know what any of that means, but I know you got a long way to go in terms of Rule 5 obsession, like J.J. I don't know if there's any truth to the rumor that he wanted to name his kids Rule and 5, but I wouldn't doubt it.
The best is spring training talking about the Rule 5 draft with Jim Callis and him.
Oh, no.
Him grunting at me like, oh.
No. I'm sure I've told this story on the podcast before, but at one point we shared rooms at the winter meetings. And JJ was my roommate 1 year. And I am a notoriously light sleeper. Like, it, even on a good night where they're stress-free, I probably won't fall asleep till like 3 a.m. He's prowling the halls on the eve of the Rule 5 draft, looking for whatever he can get. And I had finally fallen asleep. Thank my lucky star. He comes in and goes, I know who the number one pick's going to be. And I fire a pillow at him. It's like, and I didn't get sleep the rest of the night. I was a very angry bear who wanted one night of hibernation. And we did get the number one pick. I forget who it was. I forget where we were, but I do remember just going, are you kidding me? That is the obsession. I mean, it had to be like 2 a.m. that he came back to the room with that information, because the man prowls the halls like raccoons prowl dumpsters. And on that lovely image, we will take a break for our commercials in 3, 2, 1.
If you know me, you know how much I hate making plans. But something I hate even more is having nothing to do. So enter Game Time. Game Time has made it so easy to look up events happening tonight in my area, and I can buy tickets the easy way. So maybe I'll head to a Nationals game, or I'll go see a concert, or a comedy show, whatever. I get access to the best seats and the best deals at the last minute, all while keeping my plans stress-free, just how I like them. I mean, it's the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds. 2 taps and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through all of those unread emails. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code BASEBALLAMERICA for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code BASEBALLAMERICA for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
And we are back, and we are going to kick off the second half of this podcast by talking about Ronny Mauricio. I'm talking about only New York prospects today because I don't know why. not a New Yorker, but here's this luck of the draw today. Ronny Mauricio and his Syracuses are finally coming to Durham this week. Now, will they play any baseball games? I don't know. The weather, as I mentioned earlier, is upsetting. There's lightning bolts as far as the eye can see. But if they do get to play, Ronny Mauricio is a really interesting prospect. He came back from the little ankle ding he had and is leading or near the top of the minor leagues in all sorts of categories. I spelled it out today in a hot sheet with, I think it's like extra base hits, total bases, runs, hits, all that good stuff. I don't think he leads in anything, but he's number 2 in a lot of stuff. And it's taken... I don't want to say it's taken a while with Mauricio because he's only 22 years old, but you know, there last year it kind of looked like he had stalled out a little bit of Double A, and it turns out just an escape from Binghamton really does the body well. And I will say part of the reason he's doing better this year is the strikeout rate is down. I don't think that's in small. I don't think it's an insignificant factor that they are using the ABS in AAA. So he can manage that strike zone a little better, a little more confidently, knowing what is going to be called a strike and what isn't. I'd be curious to see what his strikeout rate would look like in the big leagues, but you obviously couldn't attribute it just to the human umpires who are, and I'm going to make a hot take here, really freaking good at what they do, despite, you know, a lot of blowback online when they get one or two calls wrong. I'll say too, like, if you get 97% of your job correct on any given day, that's pretty good. And that's kind of what we're bickering about over with a lot of umpires. But anyway, I am BA's number one umpire defender. Point is,
you love umpires.
I do love umpires. Fun fact, my first
animals and umpires.
Yes, my first Little League jersey, I picked number 15, not for any big leaguer, but for then big league umpire Joe Brinkman. Yes, I picked my Little League jersey number after a big league umpire. That's where we were. I have a game used Jim Joyce hat and shirt in my closet. I have an umpire indicator from Jim Joyce. I think it's in my field of vision right now. So that's the kind of I met him in person because he lived right near one of my best friends growing up. In any case, Mauricio, I think it would be very interesting to see what happens to his strikeout rate if he got to the big leagues and the human element returned. But besides the lowered strikeout rate, he does have plenty of, you know, impact. He's got twitch. I don't know where he's going to play in the big leagues. Because obviously there's, you know, shortstop is kind of locked up. They're going to have to move him around a little bit. But he's gotten back on the prospect map this year. After falling off, he's in the top 100. And like I said, if it stops raining, I'm looking forward to seeing him at some point this week. Yeah, I'm outside right now, and it's getting very dark, as if it is like 4 a.m. right now. It's 4 a.m. at 11:30, which is not what you want in terms of weather.
No,
it is not great. So, Jeff, anybody else you want to talk about on the hot sheet?
Sure, yeah. Somebody else I wanted to sort of mention here on the hot sheet that really is interesting to me is Dalton Rogers of the Red Sox. I believe he was a third rounder last year out of Southern Mississippi. And that is correct. He was a 99th overall pick. I had seen him on the Cape the previous summer in 21. And the stuff has continued to stick up, tick up. And he's really interesting to me. He's a lower slot left-hander. It's lower 90s, but he will touch like fours and fives. Really flat vertical approach angle. He's got three different shapes in the secondaries with a slider, a curveball, a changeup, can turn over the changeup pretty well. He's been trending upward now for the majority of the season. Got a promotion up to Greenville from Salem not all that long ago. I think this was maybe four starts. This was his fourth start at the high A level. Absolutely dominated through six scoreless innings. I think he allowed a couple of hits no hits actually, and a walk. So he only allowed one base runner, struck out 11. Seems like a guy that could potentially trend up to Portland at some point during the summer. It wouldn't shock me if there's only a few more starts left here. It's been a pretty good draft actually for the Red Sox. When you think about Roman Anthony, you think about Chase Meadroth. Both players that look pretty good. We haven't really gotten a good sample size of Mikey Ramiro yet to know what's going on there. Brooks Brannan, after getting really bad reports, is getting good reports. And then Dalton Rogers, who looks like an interesting, maybe it's a back end of the rotation sort of arm. But he's a guy with interesting traits, left-handed, throws some strikes, has swing and miss stuff. And I think there's maybe still a little bit more projection to add a few ticks of velocity onto all of his offerings. And then we're really cooking with gas. So I think Rogers is another guy here within the Red Sox system that might be a little bit underrated and a little bit under discussed. But it wouldn't shock me if, you know, within a few months, he finds a way to sort of push his way to the top of the Red Sox pitcher rankings, just in very deep. When I look at a Shane Drohan, I look at a Dalton Rogers, there's actually traits with Rogers I think I like more than I do with Drohan, who made a fairly significant jump into the top 10 of the Red Sox system.
Yeah, that's probably true. But I think the biggest factor for Dalton Rogers is that I haven't seen him this year. And given the amount of Red Sox prospects I have cursed with my presence, that's good for him.
Luis Peralta seems to be recovering, though. You saw him earlier in the year. He's recovering. He's looking pretty good. So stay the hell away, Josh, okay? I want Peralta to be good.
Air flu. It usually takes 2 months or so.
We're gonna call the post Josh Norris struggles the bear flu.
Well, the bear flu is the new pandemic. It's
only impacts pitchers in the Carolina leagues and Sally.
Hey, I gave the bear flu to Marcelo Mayer. No, you know what? Marcelo Mayer didn't get cursed by my presence. He had the actual human flu, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And then he got my presence was coincidental. But Wickelman Gonzalez, I believe, has recovered from the bear flu as well. So things are looking better for the Red Sox now that I haven't seen them. Oh, Elmer Rodriguez Cruz, too. He's done pretty well of late.
He hasn't, pitched poorly all year other than when, you were there.
I saw him get, I think, 4 outs.
Can I bring up something on the hot sheet? Because I did the hot sheet picks this week.
Yeah.
I didn't mean for this to be the case, but after I picked it, I took a step back and was like, there feels like there's a heavy East Coast bias on this this particular list. Phillips in Chattanooga, we got Povich. I guess Canzone isn't East Coast, but Shenton is. DJ Hers is Tennessee, so it doesn't really count. Kobe Mayo, Spencer Jones, another Chattanooga guy. We got, there's a handful of West Coast guys, but it just feels like there's a heavy East Coast bias. There were a bunch of Red Sox that made the list this week.
Like, wait a minute. How does Shenton not count? Shenton count, but Florida doesn't.
Why would Florida? Who didn't
count? You said one of the Florida guys doesn't count.
Who did I say doesn't count?
I forget who it was, but you said one, and I was like, well, wait a minute. Shenton's in like.
No, I said Dominic Canzone.
I thought you said another one.
DJ Hers, who's Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee. I'm sorry, you said Tennessee. But you counted Shenton.
They're not as east as Chattanooga, right?
Well, but they're both they're in the same league.
Fair. Okay, fine. I was gonna say that was more like a mid south one, but okay. Yeah.
Yeah, like Montgomery isn't exactly it's not exactly New York. And if you can hear it on the podcast, I'm throwing things at my sliding glass door to get the squirrels away from my bird feeder. That's a little inside baseball here. And then we'll go to the helium guy.
Talk about the helium guy.
Jefferson Rojas. This is, this section used to be Ben's palace because he would pick the J2 guys that he liked the most. And I think it's kind of morphed into, since Ben really doesn't do the hot sheet anymore, unless he's called into action, it's become Josh's palace. And Jefferson Rojas is the Cubs shortstop who I, again, hope to see this week in Kannapolis, if weather will allow. I don't believe it will, so my pipe dream will remain a pipe dream. But he's a really interesting prospect with the Cubs, who has the strange quirk. He played one game in the ACL and got promoted. And what did he do in that ACL game, friends? Did he hit for the cycle? Did he hit three bombs? No, he went 0 for 3. And that gets you a bump to low A, which I just think is hilariously funny. Obviously, the Cubs didn't promote him. The promotion wasn't hinging on the outcome of that game, but I just thought it was hilarious. And now he's with low A Myrtle Beach and is doing quite well for an 18-year-old. He had, I think, 4 straight games with 2-plus hits. He's got a bomb already. And he was kind of making some noise in extended spring training where you had some scouts saying, this guy might be a top 100 guy someday. Signed for, I believe, $1 million a couple years ago on the strength of possibly being an offensive-minded infielder. And very early indications are that he is indeed an offensive-minded infielder. Looking really forward to seeing him, if not this week, then someday. With the Myrtle Beaches, and if not, watching him on TV. It'd be really fun to see him against Noah Schultz and the Fighting Kannapolises. I would love to pair him up and watch Jackson Ferris for a second turn, but we shall see. Jeff, what is your schedule looking like for the week?
So I'm going to head out to the Cape Cod League.
You look to the Cape Cod League as JJ Cooper is to the Rule 5 draft. Carry
that on. Might actually be Peter Flaherty. I think Peter probably loves it more than I do. He lives down there during the summer, grew up going to games since he was a yay high wearing a sailor suit.
Little Lord Fauntleroy suit?
Yeah. What?
Little Lord Fauntleroy suit?
No, sailor suit. I had a teacher in high school who used to say that. So, yeah, I've been doing this since I was yay high wearing a sailor suit. So I picked up on it. I dropped it. I tried to bring it to the world. And you try to expand on it, Josh. What are we even doing here? No, but I'm going to be at the Cape Cod League. I've only seen two games so far. Looking forward to getting out there for a few days. Unfortunately, I missed Brody Breck last night. I think that was his last start. We'll be doing a podcast on Thursday morning with Peter as we get caught up on the Cape Cod League. Peter is in Omaha, but was out there for a lot of the first week. So this week, I'm going to try to bear down. Going to be there like the next 3 days. Yankeel Fernandez was then promoted to Double A Hartford. So I'm going to head out to Hartford, try to get some games this weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday should be there. Catching some Yankeel and some of the Erie pitchers, though. I'm going to miss Ty Madden because I believe he's going tomorrow night. But there's always a chance that I could pivot and maybe end up on the Cape on a Sunday and decide to go to Hartford tomorrow night. So we'll see. I got some options. New Hampshire's not around. Worcester has Lehigh Valley in town, which isn't all that interesting, frankly. So we'll see where I end up. But I think my plan is to be at games from today and through Sunday. So trying to get a big week of ramping up, get some games in. Then we got one more week, and then I'm out in Seattle for the Futures game. So should be fun.
Well, my week, as I've said several times, depends on what the weather is doing. And, you know, play the breaking news horn. It's raining. It's very dark. It's raining. The thunder has scared the squirrels away. So mission accomplished. But I was hoping to go to the 16U tournament out in Cary because convenience. And, you know, why not go out there, take some video of some future guys for Ben and Carlos. Well, Carlos is out at the MLB Combine in Arizona. And then he and Ben, I believe, are coming here for PDP and college national team, and I will be helping out with college national team because as far as amateur events go, I really like that one. A lot of fun guys for next year. I actually know who most of them are, and I can take video of them and do fun things with my slow-mo camera. It's always a fun event. And then, I don't know what I'm doing from there on out, but except for a lot of writing, we kept some content coming up. We did our releases of the top 30s updated. So now we're going to look out tomorrow. That's Wednesday on the website for notable risers among each of the 30 systems. The next day, notable fallers. And the day after that, kind of injury updates as we can provide them. And then we move on to updating the top 100 again, right beginning of July. And then we have another set of updates for the 30s and the trade deadline will hear and we'll be here. And yeah, that's it for the next couple of months.
Just enjoy these couple of weeks before it starts to get in the dog days of summer and it feels like summer's ending and the season's ending. So these are my favorite weeks of the year.
I think that makes you a masochist. I was just thinking the other day, like, you know, I would really like some winter weather right now. This whole wring out your shirt every time you go outside thing is upsetting. I don't much care for it. Like the other day,
It's not as humid here up north.
At the 17U, like, it's 8 in the morning, and it's 94 degrees, and I am sweating bullets right now. I'm sweating like I'm in an interrogation room.
Yeah, I have not gotten that sort of heat yet.
No, it was quite upsetting. But it was 8 a.m. and whatever. And I foolishly wore pants, which, you know, if you know me or the prior versions of me, I went months and months and months without wearing full-on pants. Like, I would be wearing
I don't leave the house and go anywhere in shorts. I wear shorts at home. I don't really leave the house ever in shorts. Like, I'm always in pants.
Well, la di freaking da. I bet you
were games, man. I could never go to a game in shorts. I went to my parents' house on Sunday and they were like, "Are you going to a game?" And I'm like, "I'm wearing shorts. Come on."
Well, like, I generally agree with that, although I will say, like, the scouts at these games were wearing shorts, which, if they're doing it, it's fine by me.
Mamba mentality here. I don't care.
I ain't
they can do it. I'm gonna be stronger. I'm gonna wear pants. It's my Kobe Bryant Mamba mentality when it comes to going to games.
You know? Kobe Bryant wore shorts.
Not if he was working for Baseball America and covering games, he wouldn't.
Well, then he wouldn't be Kobe Bryant. He'd just be some dude named Kobe.
He'd be Kobe Bryant, the baseball writer.
Yeah, but he wore shorts famously for a living. This is a terrible analogy.
That was his job. I'm saying I take the Mamba mentality to my game prep. You know, I got my cameras ready. Everything's ready to go. It could rain. There could be an attack. It doesn't matter. I am ready.
An attack?
A swarm of bees rolls in. I'm prepared. I got everything in that bag, man. I got everything in that bag.
How are pants going to help you in an attack?
If it was bees?
If it was
bees. My legs wouldn't be exposed.
That's madness.
Use your head, Josh.
You're living the leg prison lifestyle. I don't get it.
I love it.
The leg prison lifestyle is for fools.
Hey, man, we both know a scout that likes to dress well. I agree with him, man. I try to go to games in my low, you know, nice fresh sneakers, you know, matching hat. I try to keep it 100.
I'm trying to think the last time I dressed well.
Ooh. A BA banquet?
No, even then it was kind of a 45. Because I am a 38-year-old man who does not know how to tie a tie, so I had to have JJ tie it for me. I remember one of our events in Vegas, we went to this really fancy restaurant. And to be fair, we didn't know it was going to be that fancy when we went there. We just knew we were going out to dinner, and I wasn't the only one who was like wearing, you know, khakis and a polo where it should have been like, well, not black tie, but like gray tie, I guess.
A satin tie and a white
shirt. Yeah, and we're like, well, we certainly look like Cletus the Slack-Jawed Yokel. Some folk will never eat a skunk, but then again, some folk will, like Cletus the Slack-Jawed Yokel. And on that note, the bear and the parrot are going to fly and go back to their cave for the week. I hope you enjoyed this descent into our respective madnesses. For Jeff, I am Josh. Have a good week.